Everyone loves a good story and a good storyteller. But there is no storyteller like the Lord Jesus, and there are no greater stories told than the ones Jesus shared. In this study, Spiritual Stories, we consider the parables Jesus told and their application to us. These are truly the greatest stories ever told, and the Lord has something He wants to say to you through them. Let's join Scott Pauley now.
Do you remember that I said to you at the beginning of our series on the parables of Jesus that the parables of the New Testament are very much akin to the Proverbs of the Old Testament? And one of the reasons is that they employ a very similar method of teaching. And one of those methods is that of comparison and contrast. In other words, putting two things against one another and showing you how they're the same or how they're different. We come to an example of that today in one of the parables of our Lord Jesus recorded for us in Luke chapter 7. And it really is one that is intriguing to me. We don't give much attention to this. I'm not sure why. It is also found in Matthew chapter number 11, if you want to compare Scripture with Scripture. But let's see how Luke records it for us in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse number 31. We read these words, "And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like?" Now let me pause and point out the key word here. He said, "I'm likening them to something. What are they like?" So we're using imagery. Remember, that's what parables are. This is parabolic teaching, is drawing a picture to get a principle across. He's about to tell a story, but the story has a spiritual truth. Don't miss the spiritual truth. He continues, verse 32, "They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and ye've not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children." Now the parable begins and ends with the word children. Let me point that out to you. There's something very humbling about this. In fact, I think very convicting. He was looking at grown men, adults, religious leaders even, and saying, you know, you're like a bunch of kids. I think sometimes the Heavenly Father must think that of all of us. Sometimes we're so immature. We want it our way, like a little child that cannot be pleased. And he looks at them and he says, you're like a bunch of children. But when he comes to the end of the parable, we have this powerful statement, wisdom is justified of all her children. Here's the great contrast of the parable. He is showing the difference between foolish children and wise children. It's just like Proverbs contrasting wisdom and folly. They are very different things, and they produce very different people. So what do we learn from these wise and foolish children? Well, we have to begin, as all of them, with the primary interpretation. What is the interpretation? He's speaking a word of description about the generation he was living in, which, by the way, in many ways mirrors the generation we are living in. And he's saying that this generation that didn't want the truth, that rejected the truth, could not be pleased. He said, John the Baptist comes, and he is a very stern kind of minister. He is not a social person. He is not one for fun and games and a lot of extra interaction. And you looked at him and called him demon-possessed. He said, then I have come, the Messiah has come, the Son of Man has come, in all my humanity, sitting and having a meal with you, having dinner, breaking bread, drinking of the fruit of the vine. And you say, I'm just a glutton and a winebibber, a party animal. Can you imagine them calling the Lord Jesus that? Do you see the great extremes here? He's not showing the extreme of John and Jesus. He is showing the extremes of the sin nature, how fickle it is, how changeable it is. Remember, this is the same crowd that is going to cry, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and then turn right around in just a few hours and cry out with a mob, crucify him. Here's the point. Here's the interpretation. If you don't want the truth, it doesn't matter what method it comes in. It doesn't matter who the messenger is. If you are not willing to receive the message, if you don't want to know God, then it doesn't matter what the presentation of the truth is. You're going to say no to it. Then there's not only here an interpretation, but remember, in all the parables, there is a revelation that we must learn about God. Now, what do we see in this parable about God? That our God is the God of truth. And he sends that truth to us patiently over and over again. As surely as he sent John the Baptist, and then on the heels of the forerunner, he sends the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. God has done everything possible to get the truth to us. If we don't get the truth, it's not because God didn't send it, it's because we weren't willing to receive it. If we don't have the truth today, it is because we have not been open to receive what God has plainly given. And so, God is revealing something here about himself and about these people, and of course, by default, about all of us. And so that brings us, finally, not just to the interpretation and the revelation, but to the application. And what's the application? The application here is that God doesn't conform to us. We are to conform to him. Do you know what Jesus was really striking at? The fact that these people were rejecting him because he didn't fit their idea. Jesus did not fit their mold, did not fit in their box. He did not come the way they thought he would come, sound the way they thought he would sound, do what they thought he would do. But the problem was not with Jesus, the problem was with the people. The problem is never with God's truth, the problem is always with our thoughts. You see, we try to conform God to our image. That's not the way it's supposed to be at all. No, we must be conformed to his image. We must bring our thoughts, our ideas, into conformity with the word of the living God. And so, the Lord Jesus said, don't be like a bunch of kids, a bunch of children playing wedding one day and funeral the next, playing their instrument and wanting you to dance, unhappy if you don't, and then pretending they're going to a funeral wanting you to cry, unhappy if you don't. Don't be little children like that. Instead, be children of truth. Be wisdom's children that grow up to demonstrate that God's way is always the right way. You see, as a parent, I must tell you that raising children, which for the record is one of the hardest jobs in all the world, if not the hardest, is a constant reminder that at one moment children can be wise and at another children can be foolish. But what is true of our children is true of all of God's children. There are many times that we are not wise as we ought to be. We are very foolish in thinking that we know better than God, and thinking that we should dictate to him the way it should be. Instead, we should come humbly, and we should say to the Lord, Lord, you teach us. Lord, you show us. Lord, you do it any way you want to do it, and whatever you say in your word, we will accept. And whatever you choose to do, and however you choose to do it in our lives, we will rejoice in. We don't want to be foolish children. We want to be wise children. See, one of the great aims of this study is that as we come to know our Lord Jesus better, who is truth himself and whose words were full of grace and truth, that we will come to a deeper wisdom, the wisdom from God Almighty. Would you make that your prayer? Would you pray that God would make you a child of true wisdom, that you would receive and be open and be teachable, no matter how young or old you are, no matter how new a Christian you may be or how seasoned a saint you may be, wherever you are on this journey, would you pray that the Lord would help you have a believing heart and an obedient heart, a mind that is ready to receive and a life that is ready to obey? May God help us to be wise children.
The parables of the Lord Jesus Christ hold tremendous truth and application to us today. And to help you in this study, we encourage you to visit our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, where Scott has prepared a reading guide to the parables that you can download and use. On our website, you will find many helpful tools and resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. Every sermon, each study, all of our resources are for the purpose of following God's Word and finding Christ's joy.